The opening scripture is Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4 in the King James Version. Give you a chance to go there. And when you read it, you're going to find it's very similar because Paul quoted this verse, made reference to it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. So we're kind of going to do two or three almost like together. And everybody got it? Did I hear a no somewhere? Okay, Isaiah 64. It's almost to the end of the book, actually, but when you hear it and you read it again, you'll be reminded of Paul quoting this verse again. He made a reference to it in 1 Corinthians, which we will go to reasonably soon. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O God, besides thee, what he has prepared for him that waits for him. And if you put this in a BC frame, like the old covenant before Christ came and was here for his ministry, people were not born again, so they did not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them at the time. And so because of that, even before we were saved, we didn't have revelation of spiritual truth because we were not of the Spirit of the Lord. And so before Christ came, neither were they. The Holy Spirit would anoint certain ones. The Spirit would come upon them and empower them. But he did not indwell them. And so the scripture is very true. An unsaved person, if you will, they can't hear spiritually the things that God has. And not perceived by the ear. So not only could they not see, they couldn't see, they couldn't hear or perceive or understand or discern. And so there's a lot of promises. You and I now can go back and read and understand because now the Spirit has been given for the believers. And because he's the Spirit of truth, he also gives us revelation, he gives us knowledge, he gives us discernment, he gives us insights. And we're able to see and to hear what they could not. And so it's such a wonderful advantage. And so, and what is it that we're really after? To see what he has prepared for him who waits for him. If we wait upon the Lord, there are times when each of us is a believer. I know that there are times in each of our lives when we really need to hear from the Lord. We may be facing a situation about a job, maybe illness, maybe, I mean, our lives are like that. Our lives are continuously changing, and we all experience moving and people dying, people being born, just life. But as believers, to navigate the highway of life, it's really, really important for us to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to each of us. If you took five of us and we all took turns presenting a verse of Scripture, we would all be presenting it, but from a different perspective, if you will. And I like to use the example of if I took one of these chairs and I set it in the aisle and I just said, John, describe what you see. Well, because you're sitting behind the chair, you could describe the back of it and if there's a label, if there's any dings in the chair or something, you know, you would be very cognizant of that. But I'm on this side of it and I don't see what you see. And if I asked Jim or Don or anybody on this side to describe that chair, you would describe it from the perspective that you're viewing it or that you're seeing it. But you couldn't describe it from the other side because you can't see it. And if I asked Marjorie, describe what you see on the chair, she could describe that side of the chair. And Ken and Laurie could describe from the front. You're all talking about the chair, but from a different perspective. And when I think about the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all describing the person of Christ and his ministry. And naysayers of the Bible pick it apart and say, oh, look at all the contradictions. But they're not. They're all in agreement like this because the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit and there's no errors in what God said and what's written. But when you see Matthew's account, John's account, Luke's account, and Mark's account, some of those are carried through, but not all of them. And so people find fault with it and say, oh, well, he didn't say that. But he's describing from his perspective. And that's a really excellent way. When you hear other people speak, they may present something from a very different viewpoint or perspective. But when Isaiah wrote this or prophesied this and it was written, in that time, people that weren't saved, because it wasn't the time of Christ yet, it was true, they could not understand the things of the Lord, let alone the things that God had prepared for them, because they couldn't know him any other way except through the old covenant. And if they were privy to hearing the manuscripts read in the synagogue, what about the people that didn't? They still couldn't know. And so, isn't it nice to know in your search and your quest for the Lord, what does God have prepared for you today? What does your future look like? What about the grandchildren? What plans does God have for those children? I don't know if you think beyond the now sometimes in that perspective, but it's really important to think beyond the now, even though he's now and he's present. What are his plans for our lives in the future? And it's really good to know those things. And yet the way this is written, if you don't understand about they weren't born again, they had no way of knowing. Not really, except what's written and what's revealed to them. But now if you go to Paul's reference to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, give you a couple of minutes to turn there, the picture begins to get a little more clear. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And my specific reasons for bringing you to this part is because it's the very principle we're talking about. But I have personally, in the time I've been saved, I've heard so many people only talk about verse 9, but they never include verse 10. It's like, I don't know why. I could speculate, but I won't. But here you see the reference. Verse 8 is really, it really kind of sets you up to see the significance of what's being said. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know that Jesus was the Messiah. They didn't have the revelation from the old covenant. Jim did it. Jim, thank you for revealing Christ in all the books of the Bible. You know, he did that last week. And so that they had no, without the revelation of the Spirit, they wouldn't have known to look for him the way it's prophesied for him to come, with the exception of a few that were very blatant, they had to have known. But this says if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified him. But it was our sins that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't Pilate. No, it was the sins of man. And so then verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And so oftentimes I've heard, because I like to feed myself as well. But I kind of felt like something was missing. It doesn't, just as that is written, it doesn't give me any hope that I could never know what God has for my life. It doesn't offer that scripture by itself. It doesn't offer you the advantages that you have available if you just take that one scripture. It brings you to a point, and the people who presented it like that without the next verse kind of give you the impression that you're just kind of stuck in the la-la land someplace where you can't know these things. And so they limit you if you just stay with that verse. But look at the next verse. But God has revealed them unto us. How? What's that? How does he reveal them to us? By his Spirit. And where does the Holy Spirit dwell? Within each of us, doesn't he? So you begin to see a bigger picture. How we are so greatly advantaged. Because without that, we're just like would-be Christians, but void of believing in the access of the Spirit that we have. We have access to him through the Spirit because he dwells in us. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the revelator. He's the one that reveals to us and brings clarity and understanding and discernment of the word. None of us could speak or teach each other without that. You couldn't live a day as a Christian without the empowering of the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to show you things to come. I relate that to a highway. You go down the road, but you don't know what's around the next corner. Life is like that. We don't know what's around the next corner for our life, but the Spirit does. And so this scripture is very relevant because it says, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the Spirit gets from the Father and he reveals those things to us. But that was lacking for the people who lived before Christ. And that's extremely helpful to us. Think of how it would be if we, at the time we had children, and we weren't born again, and that's happened in a lot of families. Sometimes not everybody gets saved at the same time in a family. And how could you give your children godly counsel? How could you point them to Christ if it weren't for the Holy Spirit? You know, simple practical things in life, but yet so vital to us. And now we have grandchildren, a lot of us. I've been here long enough to be grandpa at least 10 times. Not just our grandchildren, but you know, you feel like we're part of something bigger, and the Holy Spirit has enabled us to have these things available to us. So don't come to the place in your life where you feel like you can't understand or you can't receive. Take a few minutes in your own time, and before you read the scriptures, ask the Lord to give you understanding, give you revelation of what you're reading, and take the time to ponder it, meditate on it a little bit, so that it gets deeper inside of you and it becomes more real. Because surely there'll be an opportunity that you'll have need for that, and the Spirit will quicken that to you in a time of need. And then I have one more. This is one of my beloved Sister Barbara's scriptures. Barbara loves this scripture. You ready for it, Barb? Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Would you like to read it when you get there? I know you won't mind me calling upon you because you're not shy. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. Yes. I got to get there myself. I got to hustle on. Got it. Ding, 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 ding. Ooh. Did everybody hear that even way back in the corner? Yeah? What does that mean to you? You know, God is El Shaddai. He's not El Stinjo, El Cheapo. He's made available everything in his kingdom to you. And so what do you have to do? You have to search the scriptures to find out what's there. And the Holy Spirit reveals that to us. And when Jesus said that, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When I think of good pleasure, let's come back to the kids. Let's come back to the grandchildren. Doesn't it give you great joy to bless your children, to bless your grandchildren, to bless your friends? Isn't it just a joy to be a giver? And how many of you, truthfully, would give everything you had if you knew it was going to make a difference in your child and in their future? I think most all of us as parents, there's times when you don't care if they live 1,000 miles away. You know, that's a nice place for them at that particular moment. But then there's times when you want them close. And to bless them and to sow into their lives. Well, look at the Father. Look at what he sowed into our lives. It's phenomenal. And everything in his kingdom, he said, it's his good pleasure. Not because we weaseled him out of it, because we conned him with a prayer, you know, and manipulated him. It's his good pleasure from the beginning to give you, to share with you, to bless you, to give you the opportunity to partake of all that's in his kingdom. You have access to that. And I just think that's such an amazing thing. Because I could never see beyond the next meal in our house as a kid growing up. Most of the time we grew it ourselves, so there wouldn't have been any. We had a lot of kids and as growing up. And the food, we had 2 gardens. But I could see that we were going to eat good because we didn't have any summer vacation from school. It was working in the gardens and raising chickens and a couple pigs. So my vision was limited for my life as a child. I could see the provision because I participated in producing it. But God has seen what our needs are, and he's made provision for it. So think big. I challenge you to think bigger than you do today and enlarge the reality of his goodness to you and the care for you and the mercy and the compassion and the grace and everything that's in his kingdom. And I think about when some of us were kids, there's anxiety and worry. You see it in our parents. Like in my case, my dad was the one who worked and one job to feed all of us. There were 5 of us kids. And he was anxious. He was worried. He was concerned of what would happen if he lost his job. But now we have a father. I'm missing something. I haven't memorized all the Bible yet, contrary to popular opinion. I have not found a place where God worried. I've not found a place where he was anxious. So I can't now, as a direct blood relative by the blood of Jesus, access to my Heavenly Father, I don't have to pattern my life out of parents who had anxiety and worry about what they were going to do with their kids. Because he doesn't. And he's our Father now. Those of us that are in the faith, we have a Heavenly Father. He says, chill it, I got this. I have a question. Only one. During that little quiet time, I sensed that somebody was wanting to speak a word but weren't quite sure whether you should. You should if it was in your heart. That's why we wait on the Lord, and sometimes during that quiet time, I know he speaks to us through his word and through the songs, but I sense that somebody specifically had something during that period of time, and I just wanted to extend the invitation to you before I carry on with the words that I have. What a wonderful reminder to us all.
You got
Well, sometimes you just sense it, you know, and I just always feel it's right to at least ask, because I know that a lot of times, you know, we're concerned about hearing the Lord in our personal lives at different times for direction and purpose, but yet as a body, I really feel it's important that we have that time as well, because the word that you had, somebody's going to have a really amazing week this week because of it. So thank you. Appreciate it. And yes, Mr. Love Chapter is back, live and in color. We're not quite finished. Faith, you want? It's running? Okay, great. Thank you. We're almost to, it's not really the end, but it's the end of where I set out to come. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you probably, pages are all bent. We've been there for so long. But don't get bent out of shape. That would not would be good. And we're down to verse 7. And like I said so many times, these are scriptures that so many times people have read, or they read them to each other at their weddings. And myself included, I often wondered, did we really know what we said? Because, you know, in a format of like a wedding ceremony or something, the scriptures are just read. But they're like vows, in a sense. And that's why they're so good, because they really stir us to look really deep within ourselves. As, have I learned to love to this extent yet? And I would say sometimes, but the sometimes not. Love believes all things. This is the second portion of verse 7. Love bears all things. And we talked a lot about that before Faith and I left for our little journey, about the strength of bearing one another up. It's almost like I get this picture of, I get word pictures a lot, but a lot of times people in the medical profession might see this happen. And I think of how many times I've been in the waiting area at the Springfield Hospital for someone. And I look out and I see the DART helicopter land. And I think of all the care and all of the attention. It's like everything else stops. You know that, Patty. And everything is focused on the one person. And all of those resources are available to bear that person up. The people that put them on the gurney that they roll out to the helicopter, and all the great care. And I mean, I've had a lot of time to intently watch these things, because I like flying. And a helicopter lands just outside your window. I got to scope it out. See what's going on. And I see the care of what we have in our country compared to so many other countries that lack. But to bear that person up on a gurney, the people that put them onto it, the people that roll them out, the people that put them in the helicopter, and then it gets to Dartmouth, and it's a very attentive care for that individual to see them through that really tough time they're going through in their life. Well, the love of God, this chapter 13, when it says love bears all things. It will stand up beyond any other force or power that could make a difference. And the other thing about this is that it's not selfish, it's selfless, where the care and the focus is on the other person. It's not manipulative. Love doesn't love to get something back. That's earthly love, if you will, people love. But the love of the Lord isn't like that. It gives, and it gives, and it gives, and it bears up. It embraces, it holds, it comforts, it keeps you in a really, really good, firm, solid place. So, but that was 2 weeks ago. Now I want to look at love believes all things. And I've made the comment before how many of you could probably dupe me very easily because I believe what you say. And so, unless the Holy Spirit said, liar, liar, pants on fire, you know, I wouldn't know. Because I'm gullible in that respect. I finally know that I have a Father who loves me like this. So I'm very sensitive to that. And I perceive it. And I know it's real. And so I have that for all of you. And so if you came to me and told me this big long fish story, I would believe it. Just because I would. I can't explain it. I just would. And I know it's because that's the quality of the love that we have inside of us, placed there by the Holy Spirit. We have that inside of us, every one of us. We squash it sometimes, we quench it. We want to be stingy with it. You know, it just becomes easier just to love everybody the same and end of story. But we tend to, you know, if we don't watch ourselves, we pick and choose. And so love believes all things. Now, not just any and every word. Now, here's the caution to this. But this love uses godly wisdom to discern and to give every benefit of the doubt to the other person's credibility. Because if we don't, that can open up a door to strife, misunderstanding, and that gives the enemy a place to start working in a relationship. It can undermine. If you start doubting the person's credibility, then you begin to question their words. You begin to question their actions. And it starts you on a dangerous road as a believer, because in that regard, we're no different than unsafe people, because they do that all the time. So, is it risky? Yeah, it is. I've probably been told a lot of stories, but you know, I don't talk about them most of the time, because I know that when I die, they're going to die with me, and I'm carrying everybody's secrets with me, because I'm not a revealer of things that I know about people, unless it's public knowledge or something like that, and it's okay to talk about it. Why would I do that? Because that hurts people. And those wounds can last a long time. So I'm one of those people that you could come in and just tell me, and I just believe it. Because I know you. And so God's love is like that. But there's some other things about this too. Keeping a good opinion of the person when there's no appearance to the contrary. We all make our own reputations. And one of the first things that people see in our lives, one of the first things they notice, is do we keep our word? And when you hear a rumor, a story, something about somebody. And you say, oh, wow, I got to go tell Charlie. I need to get somebody in agreement in prayer. Do you not have any faith in your own prayers? Do you not have the faith to take your prayer privately and quietly before the Lord before you start spreading something that you heard that may or may not be true, and then you've already trashed the person's reputation at their expense? This is where this stuff gets real. Because that's how trouble starts. It starts as a little itty-bitty, like a stress crack. Or like, let's use our parking lot out here. It's been there for 12 years, paved. But now, it's starting to get little cracks in it. Why does it get little cracks, and why do they get bigger? Because in the wintertime, when it rains, sometimes we get rain, it freezes, and it expands those cracks until they become unfixable by, with a lot of work, you can fill them again. But think about that in how this love works. Show the benefit of the doubt to the other person's credibility. This love will do that. It will keep you from falling into that place where the enemy can have a field day, not only with you, but for the other person. Don't be quick to let someone, what they heard about somebody else, knock you off course. And what if it is true? What if it is? Do you still keep a good opinion of the person? We don't know. I don't personally know what happened to you before you got here today. I don't know. Sometimes people come through the front door and there's still smoke coming out their ears. You know, it wasn't a happy discussion before you got here. But you see, everybody's prone to that. But this is talking about something really deeper, the real cement in a relationship, the bonds that hold the whole body of Christ together. You know, when Paul talked about the body fitly framed together, jointly framed together, and how each member, all of it works by love. Faith works by love. Or even the body of Christ would fall apart, and we've seen it. Individual fellowships fall apart because there's a falling out somewhere. And then people choose sides and they forget all about the love. Without even knowing the truth, they just follow like little lemmings and jump off the iceberg into the frozen sea somewhere. And this really works. You're examples of that. And so, keeping a good opinion. How do you do that? See, Don, your word was timely. You didn't know that was going to connect in here. Think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are of a good report. Because you know what that does? That repels an evil report. Whenever you start thinking good about a person, that shuts down the door of the enemy. Would try to open into your life to think bad about a person or to change your opinion of them based on what one person said about them. Are we getting somewhere today? I think we are, because we can all have that check in our spirit. Yeah, I've done that. Not knowing most of the time, but it happens. Love is apt to make the best of everything. It will judge well. It will believe well as far as it can reason. And will even stretch its faith beyond appearances for the support of maintaining that opinion of that person. I can give a generic example, not being specific with an individual. It's an honest example. A lot of people that do what I do wouldn't talk to their congregation so openly as I do. But I want you to see there's another side to the story. I've been told, someone comes to me, Rick, psst, you really should know this. I'm trying to protect the flock.
so-and-so and so-and-so got caught sleeping together.
I says, really? Were you under their bed? I'm not kidding. I get bold when people come to me and tell me that crap. Even if it weren't true. But look at what would happen if I took that as truth. Then I would have to go before the Lord and say, now what do I do? What am I going to do with that information? I'll tell you what I do with it. I have a special file in my head, and it's got a flush handle. Until I know, and even if I do know, I'm going to hope and I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust that even if that's the case, that they're going to do the right thing. It's not my job to fix anybody. How can I fix you? I can't even fix me. But this love will keep you in that right place before someone else's life is destroyed. Marriages are destroyed because of these things. Churches are destroyed because of this kind of stuff. And I'm not afraid to talk about it because I'm with you. We're all in this walk together. I know we all got different skills and talents and gifts of the Lord, but we're walking this walk together. I know churches overseas that got all busted up over the doctrine of the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they wouldn't believe what God said about it. Whole churches, poof, gone. Half and half. Those that believe and those that don't. And it comes down to the individuals. What do you have inside of you is a rudder. When the ship gets in a storm, I can tell you that there's an organ in the body that can turn that whole ship in a bad way, and that's our tongues. James said that, didn't he? Yes, the small thing that can wreck everything. And I don't like to talk about this stuff. But I can't not. It's so in me that I found some things that are of such value to me. I'm very hopeful that they will help you the next time that something comes up with you, that you'll remember these words, because I didn't write them. They're right here for you to read. You have a Bible too, and you can read them. So I'm not making this up. I'm just kind of following the script, if you will. And I love that because I didn't have to write it. I probably would have wrote it differently. I would have written it differently. Love is apt to make the best of everything. So what if there's a mess? If you really love with the love of the Lord, you'll find a way, because it keeps the door open to the Father. If we're walking in love, He will show us, because He's the Father of love. And He's got another side of Him. He doesn't like it when we grieve the Spirit. It will stretch its faith beyond appearances for the support of a kind opinion. And that's so true. And I don't have much more to expand on that, so I won't. You have a very good perception yourselves. And then the third part of this, love hopes all things. It's just a Rick thing. I don't know. One day I got thinking about when people, before they get married, oftentimes the bride-to-be has a hope chest, doesn't she? And she puts all her goodies in that hope chest to bring into that relationship with a husband. Well, in the Lord, I call it a hoper. All the things that you desire, all the things that you possess in Christ, you need to keep your hoper filled. Because God is an abundant supplier of everything, even above and beyond anything that you could ask or hope for. And so I just once in a while It's just me, but by that I mean like the bride to be has all these treasures that she keeps for her husband. In the Lord, I just came up with this word, hoper. We, in turn, all the precious treasures that we have, keep them in your hoper. And don't let the devil steal your jewelry. Don't let him steal from you. You have a hoper, and you can protect that, and you can guard it. And this love is one of the things that will keep your hope alive. Never lose your hope. Don't ever let the enemy take it. Yes, there's assaults on it. But the love will not change the fact of what you hope for. If your hope is based on anything, I asked Barbara to read that scripture out loud, that it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Everything in his kingdom, he shares it with you. And it's his good pleasure. And so everything in the kingdom that you yet hope for to see, you know by faith it's already there. And your love will go beyond. It says, when love is confronted, love hopes all things. Now remember that we're talking about the love, not the person, but the love that's in the person, is confronted with undeniable evidence of wrongdoing. Yep, they did it. It will still hope well and continue to hope as long as there's ground for it. So I adopted another little saying, because I can't always say truthfully that I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit inspired it or it's a Rick thought. So I'm just going to say, in this particular case, I don't know. But it has to do with hope. I said, there's always hope as long as you're alive. And then, if you get a real anointed pastor and they do your funeral, there's still hope that you'll pop out of the box. But don't, not everybody's Jack. Well, you can think about that later. I've seen a few of those. Jack didn't come back. But this hope is birthed, and it's part of that love, the agape love, that's in us by the Holy Spirit. And even in the most worst situation, you can't lose your hope, and don't lose your hope for a person. You might be the only one standing in the gap and interceding for that person. And for all the time you spend before the Lord in prayer, and all the while your prayer is going this way, the other person's going that way. Well, I know a man from the time I was a foster child in the third grade in his home. 8 years old. I'm 76 now, but I was, I think, 30, coming up on my 35th birthday when I got saved. But that man never failed not only to share the gospel, but it followed me all through those years before I was saved. And he always thought he was a failure in my case. And I brought him discouragement, but he still had hope. And he lived long enough that I had the joy. I said, look at me. Everything you told me, I got it now, I got it. And he was just absolutely ecstatic because he never gave up on me. I mean, I was a tough cookie to crack. And probably some of you were too, maybe in different ways. You know, we all got our traits, whatever. But it brought him great joy. And you know, he died in joy knowing that the seed that he sowed all of those years finally fell on a heart that was so needing And I was such a jerk. And when that seed took root and the fruit that came from it, that sowing, I inspired myself. I said, I can't believe that happened, but it did. And so I have to include that. Almost everything I'll ever speak with you, it's all based on, you know, we sang that song that God is with us. The reality of the God that we read about in the scriptures. He's not so far away. He's within us by the Spirit. And that gives me hope that no matter what I face, I mean, all the years and the messes I got myself into, I never gave God the credit because I never believed in him. I didn't know it was him that saved my life. He saved my life so I could get my soul saved, or so that he could save my soul. And so I have that inner hope that's connected with this love, because I have some measure of an understanding and a revelation of the Father's love. I started reading the Gospel of John and I couldn't put it down. I read it and read it. I didn't go anywhere. I said, I want that. This one thing I desire is to have that revelation of the Father's love, because I never had that. And I treasure it. It motivates everything I do, everything I say, because it did John. They couldn't boil it out of him. And he was exiled and didn't have anybody to share it with anymore. So the book of Revelation came to being. Why? Because he understood the love of the Father. And so as long as I live, those are things that are going to move me and keep me in that realm. I have it for you. I know I do. Because I'd rather be at the lake in my flesh. It's a nice day. But there's something stronger than that that binds us together, and it's this love. And I actually wrote this, as long as the person is alive, love will still find a reason to hope for the best. And you know, when someone goes home to be with the Lord, it's a fine line between grieving and being relieved for the person's sake. Because once they see glory, they don't want to come back, so don't pray them back. They'll say, why'd you wreck my first day in heaven? This one, I got to end with this. You know, in ministry, you meet so many people in your own particular fellowship, but in others as well. And I was at Dartmouth, and this wonderful brother in the Lord had a brain tumor. And he had a lot of prayer. And the brain tumor shrunk till it was almost nothing, and everybody was ecstatic. And a few months later, it started growing back at a very alarming rate. And I was with another friend of mine and a brother in the Lord. We went to visit him. And he's laying on the bed. He's just kind of in and out of what morphine does to help make you comfortable and the pain and ease the pain. And all of a sudden, he looked up at the ceiling in his hospital bed and he said, "Glory!" And he was gone. Woof. The whole hospital was shook. They came running down the hall to see what happened. We said, don't waste your time. He's not here. That was his last word. He looked up and he saw something. I want to see that, because it's there for each of us. And it's the love of the Father bringing his children home when it's the right time. And I'm just going to conclude this whole thing on love next week. Not today. But what you heard today and the hope that he died in. Because you see, he had it all the way to the end and he never gave up. And the Lord showed him a glimpse of glory. And that's the only word he could say. He couldn't hardly talk out loud anymore. His voice was a whisper. But when that little opening, whatever he saw, I want to see what he saw. Because it shook the living. And it comforted him. And he had to shout it. And he shouted it loud. And those were his last words.
What a testimony.
Oh my. His family still lives over in Perkinsville. And it was just an absolutely awesome experience to know that it's possible to love and to maintain your hope even to your last breath. And if a person dying can have that hope, why can't we have it while we're still alive? So keep loving and really, really take these words to heart. I don't know of anything else that I've ever read that could be so helpful and so life-changing. Because it doesn't just affect us. It affects everybody you're connected to in this life, saved and unsaved. It's like there's a network. Your life is interconnected with so many people. You might think that you're alone at home, but my gosh, you're plugged in. You have a whole network of people that know you or that you know. So let this love keep you in a good place. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'd like to pray for anyone today that has a particular need for yourselves or you're seeking.